We are. The bottom of Nungium Unlimited Base, I understand, at the two dots?
Yeah.
All right. Talking about the starter, how this becomes chametz, when the mincha is actually supposed to be chametz, we saw in the Mishnah at the start of the parak that some of 10 out of the lach mitoda as well as the shtelechem are meant to be chametz. So how does it become chametz? You have to start it. You have to give it some kind of a yeast mixture that's going to enable it to become chametz. And our problem now is measurement. So we had said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said that after the medida is done, you apply the starter to part of the flour. You separate part of the flour, you apply the starter to it, let it rise, and then reinsert it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said that what you're doing is you're bringing started dough from outside before you do the medida, and Rabbi Meir objected, saying, well, that's chasera o yesera. So the Gemara wants to know what chasera o yesera actually means. My chasera o yesera. Five lines up on the bottom. Literally, it means lacking or greater than, but that doesn't really help me much. So, Amar Chista Isas Hasaor Ava Nimtzes Yisera Midas HaYisaron. He says, if the starter dough is thicker than the general material you have in the mincha, the result is Nimtzes Yisera Midas HaYisaron. You have more flour than you're actually supposed to have. It's not even more dense than the rest of the mincha. It's that it's just in general more dense than I guess the standard calculation that you'll make. So you end up with too much flour. Whereas raka, if it's too soft, meaning that it's too liquid, nimte is chasera, then you're lacking in flour. That's our concern. So, which the Gemara says, well, who cares? You're doing all this before the medida. So in the end, ki kakayo, isaron kakayo. In the end, you're going to have an isaron's worth when you actually put this back into the measure. So who cares? So Rabba of Rav Yosef, Tamri Travayu, Lachmos Shehain Haisa Misharinan. The answer is, Rabba and Rav Yosef say, Lachmos Shehain Haisa. Rashi says, Lachmos Shehayu Kivar. The key is the word Haisa. Kmos Shehain, it sounds like the way it is right now, we measure. That's not what we mean. What we mean is, we measure it based on what it was, Kishaya Kemach, when it was flour. Misharinan. That's how we gauge. So in other words, the fact that right now everything in the Yisaron comes out to the top of the measure, it tops off right, doesn't help us, because you have too much flour or you have too little flour, to which the Gemara says, V'lishko portamine, V'lich mitzeme avroi, V'leise v'niloshe v'hadei. So why don't I do this a little bit differently? Why don't I do it? Rashi explained, Nishko portamine, la'achar shemada disaron solas, post-medida, post-measurement, I should then take some out, V'lich mitzeme avroi, and then let it become chametz outside, and then reinsert it and do that. And do the lisha that way. To which he answers, Gezera Dama Asila Asuye Me Alma. Rashi explains, Isharis Le Lacham Tzomi Bachutz Lach Zero Khan. If you would permit him to have it rise outside and then put it back in, then Haroa Shumivio Min Hachutz Velasho Bekan Veina Modeid Achshav HaYisaron. Someone who sees him just bring it from the outside and need it here and not remeasure it, Saber Shum Mosif Al HaYisaron will think that he's adding to the Yisaron measure. Vaasila Asuye Saor Me Alma Levad HaYisaron. And then he'll come to think you could just bring general stuff from the outside, since he doesn't know that what you're bringing in is actually autologous, right? Think of the autologous transfusion. You're taking out its own and then putting it back, but he doesn't know that. He just thinks you're bringing myalma, you're bringing in general from somewhere. That's our concern. So therefore, Rabbi Meir says, Bode mitocho adif. Rabbi Meir seems to, the alternative seems to be that Rabbi Meir is actually saying that you would do it from within. You wouldn't take it out. I think if I understand correctly, at first I thought the Rabbi Meir was saying take it out and do it outside, but that would be the same as this. I think Rabbi Meir is actually saying you will do it from within without taking it out. And Rabbi Yehuda says you do it post... Rabbi Yehuda says you would do it, I'm sorry, pre-medida, before you ever get to the measuring.
Take it out where?
Well, out of the kli at any rate. I don't know that you're leaving the azara with it. I think you're just taking it out of the kli, you know, off to some other space where you're going to let it rise. Remember that dough rising has to take place in somewhat of an offset location. If you can do it out where everything is going on, where the air is flowing and everything else, it's not going to rise well.
What do you do with it?
So you take it to some office, you put it in a bowl, you cover it with saran wrap, and you wait for it to rise, and then you would bring it back. That would seem to be the approach.
When you bring it back, what do you do with it when you bring it back?
You put it back into the kli. What do you mean? No. I mean, you're talking about Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir, I think, is actually leaving it in the kli when he's doing this. As I understand Rabbi Meir, based on the way Rashi reads it also, what's actually happening is I have my receptacle here, and I just push it off to the side inside the kli itself. I'm not taking it out at all. In other words, it's just pushed off to the side inside it, and and that's where the rising is taking place. But if I'm reading Rashi right, that would be the way Rabbi Meir recommends. Okay. So that's the discussion. Now the Gemara takes a detour, which frankly I'm not clear on why this detour ends up here, because the Gemara would have flowed beautifully without the detour. Nonetheless, this is what we have. It's a discussion about using apples as your starter. Tana Rabbanan, ein machmitzin betapuchin. We know that apples are capable of fermentation, and you can make apple cider. So he says you can't use apples as your starter. And they said in the name of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel that no, you actually could do that. Rabbi Chanina said that was Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion talking. He was the one who said it. But Kimana Azla Hadisnan Tapuch Shariska Vanasna Vasocha Isa Lachimza Harezo Asura. There's a separate discussion in Mishnah and Trumos that talks about what happens if I have a Truma Tapuach, a Truma apple, and I crush it first, and then I put it into dough, and it makes the dough into chametz. So what will happen now to this mixture, Harezo Asura, that mixture now has the status of Truma, really Dimua, but the mixture has the status of Truma because it's been influenced by the apple. So that tells me, apparently, that Truma is able to create proper chametz. So if Truma, if I'm sorry, that apples can create proper, it's not about the Truma, it's about the apples. You're telling me that apples can create proper chametz. If apples can create proper chametz, then we should be able to use them for the mincha also. So does the fact that you're telling me regarding Truma that apples do affect the entire mixture, does that indicate to me also that regarding your menachos, the apples should be able to create a proper chimutz? Kiman, lemer v'chanina b'gamliel he v'lo rabbanan. Is that v'chanina b'gamliel then against the rabbanan? Is this in fact a machlokes? And would the rabbanan then say regarding Truma that in fact the entire mixture is not aser as truma, where you used apples? So the Gemara says, no, afilu tema rabbanan. The rabbanan would agree. Nehi de chametz gomer lo havi nuksha mi ahavi. What happens is everybody will agree that that regarding the apples, it affects the mixture. It just creates chametz nuksha. This is actually very problematic for two reasons. Reason number one why this is problematic is the question of what do you mean chametz nuksha? It's becoming chametz nuksha. We have a machlokas regarding meperos, the ability of fruit juice to generate chametz. Rashi says that meperos alone cannot create chametz. They only create chametz nuksha. That's all they create. That fits in very well with our Gemara. Rashi's view fits. We're saying here that regarding truma, it is said to affect the mixture, because it does do a partial chimutz, it creates chametz nuksha, which is simply inferior chametz, as Rashi explains it here. So that's good. And regarding menachos, it's not enough of a chimutz, and therefore it's inferior. You can't do it. You follow?
Yeah.
Rashi is very understandable. The problem is when we get beyond Rashi, because Tosos's view here and in Psachim is that meperos alone will never generate chametz whatsoever, at all. With water mixed in, it'll create chametz nuksha. So Tosfos, in order to understand this, must be talking about where there is some water present. Otherwise, this won't work. And then I'm not sure what he would do regarding mincha. The Rambam is the biggest problem. The Rambam says in Hechos Chametz Umatzah that meperos alone will never generate chametz, and if you add water, then it becomes full chametz.
There is no chametz noksha. So what's he going to do over here? How is it that the Gemara is telling me that it creates chametz? This is a major practical issue in terms of matzah with meperos. This is not a minor issue. So the Zefer called the Zevach Toda, who says that the Rambam holds that the Rambam will say that the issue here is not actually about chametz. It's not, when we use the term nuksha here, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is influencing the mixture by adding taste. It's not about chimutz. It's not about chametz at all. In other words, the Rambam holds there is no such thing as chametz nuksha as a product of meperos with water or without water. Either it's not chametz or it is chametz. Then why is it that the apples are said to affect the mixture here regarding the truma? Because it's affecting the taste of the mixture as a whole. It has nothing to do with chimus whatsoever. It's not about leavening in the first place. Which fits very well with the point of the Sfas Emes here, which is that really this whole discussion about the apples isn't germane for Menachos anyway, because the discussion really isn't about chametz. The issue is about taste when you're dealing with truma. It's not about whether it made the mixture chametz or not. That's a side note. In terms of the core Gemara itself, our point is, we said you can't use apples for creating chametz for the mincha. Regarding truma, it seems that the apples do make the mixture chametz. If you take that view of our Gemara, that it's not about affecting the taste, it's about the chimutz process. And the Gemara's resolution is, taking Rashi's view as the simplest, that the answer is regarding truma, the apples' impact counts because it creates inferior forms of chimutz. However, but there is some chimutz. Whereas regarding the mincha, the apples may not be used because it's not real chimutz. And we want when the mincha is supposed to be chametz, we want real chametz, the sort of chametz you get when you add real yeast, not when you just stick apples into a mixture and you leave it there for a while. That's the that's the difference. You follow? We're good. Okay. Yes, apparently. Apparently different from water. Which now brings us back to the core discussion, so to speak, that we were in before we got into apples. That wasn't on purpose. The discussion now goes back to the question of how I evaluate the volume of a mincha. This is a major issue that goes beyond Menachos and affects what we do in terms of issues like what we make a bracha on food, or bracha achrona, I should say, the shear for matzah and all that. And this is the question that we already begin a little bit at the bottom of the Gimel Amud Beis. Kamos Shahayu or Kamos Shahain? Let's take the following case. I have a cookie. Okay, the cookie is made out of flour, less than an olive-sized amount of flour. However, they added a lot of water, and maybe they added sugar and other things. You make kichel out of it or something, and now it's bigger than a kezias, but not because of the volume of flour in it. Do I make a bracha achron on it, or do I not make a bracha achron on it? That's the question we're going to be asking here regarding the mincha, and Rav Moshe Feinstein is going to extrapolate from our discussion here for the brachos discussion, and we're going to bring four different cases to try to prove what you do with the mincha. How do I calculate my yisaron of flour? Do I do it based on what it was in the beginning, or do I do it based on what it is now? And our first attempt at proving it is going to come from the mincha of a chote, the mincha of a person who sins. Amar Rabbi Hila. Rabbi Hila says, we are now 6-7 lines down. Ein lecha hakasha lekmitza yosef minchas chote. The mincha of a chote, remember, has no oil, so it's just loose flour. So Rabbi Hila says that when you do kmitza, it's going to be very hard. That's the hardest mincha to do kmitza on. They discuss why we didn't mention this with the other hard avodos then. But he says there's nothing harder than doing it for a minchas chote, and Rashi explains that because it's dry, the flour goes between your fingers, and when you try to do the kmitza and to use your thumb and your pinky to knock off the extra, the result is too much flour is going to leak out. That's what Rabbi Hila says. Which Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says, there's an easy solution for that. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Omar, minchas chote megabla b'mayim mukshera, add water. That's all. Add water and you're fine. You're just not allowed to add oil. So is that a debate about whether you include the foreign items in your measurement or not? Do I measure based on the raw flour, or do I measure based on the end? Lema baha kamiflagi. Is that, in fact, our debate that we had before the apple discussion? Demar savar kamos shehen misharinon. One says you follow the volume it has right now. Umar savar l'chamos shahayu misharinon. The other one says, no, you measure based on what it was initially. Isn't that the debate about whether I can add water or not? You follow the question?
So the Gemara says, "Lo, not necessarily." Dekulei alma kamos shehin misharinan. I'll tell you that everybody agrees that we follow the current measure. We follow what it is right now. I could argue. Ubahakam iflagi. This is the machlokas. Demar sabar my chareva chareva mishemen. Demar sabar chareva mikol davar. That one of them says, when we say this mincha should be dry, it means no oil, but you can have water. And the other one says, no, dry means nothing added. So the machlokas is not really about how I measure. I could tell you that everybody agrees that we measure based on what it is now. My objection to adding water is the word chareva. That's really what that's about. So no proof from that discussion. So I bring a second case. And the second case is regarding Tumas Ochlin. The rule is that food only communicates Tumah in the event that it has the volume of an egg. But what happens if that volume of the food changes? It bloats or it shrivels because of water content. That's our question here. Tanan Hasam, our second case. We learned in a Mishnah in Uktzin, Besara Igel Shenitvach, if you have meat from a calf, and the idea is it's from a young animal, and it bloats such that it's an egg-sized amount. Rashi says this happened with calves' meat. So so it bloats, so that it's now kibetza. Ubesara Zekenish Nismaich, or it came from an older animal, and it dried out. It dehydrated or got crushed, and the result is now it has less than an egg kibetza. So mishtar and lechmos shehein. The Mishnah says you measure it based on. It sounds like it says it. You base it on what it is right now. But there's a machlokas as to how to understand it. Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yochanan, one set of Amoraim, Amri mishtar and lechmos shehein, and they say the way to understand that Mishnah is you measure based on what it is right now. And if right now with water it's a kibetza, then it's a kibetza. And if right now without water it's shriveled up and it's not a kibetza, then it's not a kibetza. That's the first view. Shmuel Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Barish Lakish Ami Mishtar in the Chamos, it should say Shehayu. They use the Bach's edition. You go based on the original volume, not based on its volume right now. So that's exactly the debate about the Yisaron of flour. Do I measure it based on whether the Yisaron was initially, or do I go based on what it is right now? So that's exactly the machlokas, the same machlokas regarding the baked goods and the bracha achrona, the same exact discussion. Rav Moshe Feinstein in practice says that from the fact that we say water counts in our sugya, we're going to say water counts at least on a derabbanan level. So therefore, he says if you have baked goods that contain water and the result is it's more than a kizayis, you do make a bracha achrona on it. But he doesn't say that for other ingredients. Sugar or other things that are not flour and not water won't count towards your kezias. He says that based on our sugya here. Just the water. Yes, water is part. So the Gemara challenges this and says, well, Mesve, but we learned, Besara Egel Shalohaya Bokashir, Matavach Vamara Kashir, if you have this young animal's meat, then it bloats because of the water. And now it is Kashir, Tar Lishavar, Batame Mikanulaba. It is Tar retroactively in terms of what happened before it was a Kibetza, but it's Tame from here on out. End of quote. So doesn't that prove that we go based on the measurement now? To which he says, no, midrabanon, maybe that's only a chumra derabanon. Look at the end. It says v'chein bepigul v'chein benosar. The same is true for pigul and nosar, which we assume refers to kares, which is decidedly a del raisa, not a derabanan. Iyamid b'shlam a del raisa, hainu dihiko pigul v'nosar. If it's del raisa, I get pigul and nosar. Ela iyamid derabanan. But if it's a derabanan, pigul v'nosar b'derabanan mi'iko, there is no pigul and nosar on a derabanan. So there's no kares. So he says ema v'chein betumas pigul v'chein betumas nosar. He says no. What we're talking about is the tuma generated by pigul and the tuma generated by nosar, which is itself a tuma derabanan. The rule that pigul and nosar are automatically tame is a derabanan. So he says salka daita chamina. I might have thought ho v'tumas pigul v'tumas nosar derabanan. He since the automatic tuma associated with pigul and nosar is derabanan. Kul ehab derabanan lo avad derabanan. I would have said if they hold that it's only considered kashir midirabanan, then the tuma won't apply. It's like a derabanan on a derabanan. The thing shouldn't even be able to become tame. It shouldn't also be. It shouldn't get the tuma of pigul and noser. Kamash Malan. What it's teaching me is that it's not so. This is in fact a machlokas. And the view that says that it has kashir, because right now it's kashir, therefore we consider that shir important. You measure it based on what it is now. We'll say that there is tuma for it in terms of tumas ochlin as well as tumas pigul venosa are all midrabanan. And the view that says no, you measure based on what it was originally, will say it's tahor across the board, tahor for all three. So that's the machlokas. Yeah.
Sorry.
No. If you're going to say that it's well, no, because everybody says it's derabanan. I think everybody will say it's derabanan in the end, and that's why he says you make the bracha achrona. He says everybody holds it's at least derabanan. The machlokas is whether it's derabanan or deoraisa, but everybody is saying across the board that it's something. Tashma, but he's not done with this. He says tashma besides the kena shayibo kashir but samak pachas mikashir. If you had the meat that was from the older animal and it shriveled up and now it's less than a shear, tame lisha avaratar mikanul abba. So it was tame when it had a shear and no longer is it tame. End of quote. So again, doesn't that prove you measure based on what it is right now? So Amar Rabba, Rabba says no. Kolecha demeikara hava bay vahashta lesbay halesbay. He says everybody agrees. If right now it doesn't have a shear, then it doesn't have a shear. Nobody believes that you say, well, once it used to have a shear, and therefore now we consider it as though it does. That doesn't work. Vahalecha demeikara lo hava bay vahashta hava bay midrabanan. And everybody is going to agree that if at one point it didn't have a shear, then even though it has a shear right now, it's only a shear midrabanan, not midoraisa. Kipligi, you know where the machlokas is. Kigona shahaya bo kishir vitzamach v'chazer v'tafach, where it had a shear and then it shriveled up and then it reinflated. It was rehydrated. Then the question is, did that interim period without a shear disqualify it? Exactly. Demar savar yesh dichoy beisura, umar savar ein dichoy beisura. One says that there is dichoy in iser. He doesn't mean literally iser because here we're talking tuma also. But the point is, it now became disqualified because of that period when it didn't have a shear, and therefore even though it has a shear now, it doesn't return to that state. Umar Sabra ein dichoy beisura, and the other one says no. As long as it has a shear now, it indeed is going to be included. That's the idea. Umi ikal aman damar diyesh dichoy beisurin. Wait a minute. Is there even such a view that says that there is dichoy, that if it lost its shear, it's now gone from shear land forever? Vatnan, what do you mean? There's the following Mishnah. Kebetza ochlin sheinicha bechama v'nismatu. If you have an excised amount of food, you left it out in the sun, it dried up, and now it's less than a kebetza. V'chen kezayis min amez, kezayis min avelo, kadashim nasheretu, kezayis pigul, kezayis noser, kezayis chel. Of all these other shiurim as well, right? For tumas mace, from a piece of the mace, or a nevela, this dead animal, or the creepy crawly creature, the sharets, or pigul, or noser, or for that matter, chelev, and you're dealing with tray fishes. In all these cases, tahorin, vein chayav and alei, mishum pigul, venoser, vechelev. So, if it shrunk, correct.
What do you mean tahorin?
No, they cannot communicate tumah. Yeah, so there is no liability for pigul, for noser. There is no liability for eating it as chelev. It's less than a shear now. And then inichan v'gesham v'tavchu. But if you left it out in the rain and it reinflated, then tamei and v'chayav and aleim mishum pigul v'noser v'chelev. It says you're tamei. It says that it's now considered chelev and all of that. It returns to the shear, and no one there had any debate. So doesn't that prove that there is no dichoy? It should knock out the view that says there is dichoy. To which he answers, yeah, you're right. Tiyupta. Okay, you're right. We've proven that there is no dichoy regarding Yisurin. That's the upshot of that discussion. We still haven't resolved our question about Kamos Shehain versus Kamos Shehayu. So the Gemara brings a third attempt from Truma discussions. You have grogros and you have Te'enim. Te'enim here means fresh figs. Grogros are dried figs. If you have dried figs and you have fresh figs, you're allowed to use the fresh figs to separate. It sounds like truma. We're assuming that we mean maisa right now. Correct. Thank you. We're assuming we mean maisa right now. You can separate the fresh figs for the dried figs as long as you do it by number. Meaning there are 10 total figs, whether dried or fresh. I separate one of them as maisa. That's fine. I can't do it by volume, because if you do it by volume, then you end up with the wrong number, because the fresh figs take up a lot more space than the dried out figs. So that's my concern in not doing it by volume. What happens is, when you separate meiser, if you separate meiser incorrectly in terms of the percentage, the rule is you end up with tevel. In other words, if I take too much stuff as meiser, it's not good. People think that it's good. Al parbalaser umadus. You're not supposed to be marbe. You're not supposed to increase the meiser that you do by doing it by approximation. The rule, in fact, is if I separate too much meiser, the part that's overage is actually considered to be tevel. It's actually considered untithed produce. So you don't want to do that. You have to do it precisely. So do it by the numbers, you're good. If you do it by volume, you're in trouble. End of quote. So he says, if you tell me that we measure based on what they were originally, then this makes a lot of sense. It should say shahayu, not shahain. Ella e amrit kamos shahain, but if you're going to go based on what they are now, havale marbe b'maisros, then you will have too much in terms of your maisro, even if you use numbers, right? If I'm going based on the volume measure that they are right now, there's a lot more of the fresh figs than there is of the dried figs. Vitanya, it should say, not Usnan, but Uvitanya, Hamarba b'maisros, perosa, mitukanum, maisrosa, mikukalim. The produce you were tithing is fine, but the actual miser is going to be corrupt. It's going to include tevel. So is this a proof that you go based on the original volume and you say, well, once upon a time, these dried figs were inflated, and at that point, this would have been a valuable tithing? Elamai, then what are you going to say? Lachmos shahayu, again, the Bach throws in shahayu. That means that you go based on the volume that it once had. Is that really true? Ema seifa, look at the end of that same source. Look at the end of that tosefta. Grogros ala te'enim b'mida. It says that you can use dried figs for fresh figs if you go by volume, but not if you go by number. So he says this is the opposite now. E'amrit bishlama kamos shehein shapir. If you can tell me we measure based on what they are right now, that's fine. I understand. You can do it by volume because you're measuring the current volume. Ela e'amrit lachmos shahayu, it should say. But if you go based on the way it once was, then once again, marbe b'maisros hu. Then you're being marbe. You're going with too much because at one point in the past, the dried figs were much bigger. The currently dried figs. So now I'm going to be stuck. You can't prove anything from here. I can't understand the source at all. So you know what the answer is? It's not talking about meiser. And it's not talking about being precise. Ella, rather, we're 10 lines up from the bottom. Hacha b'truma gedola askinan. We're dealing here with truma. We're not dealing with meiser at all. And truma, you can do, right, midyaraisa, you could do any amount. Midrabanan, we do between 1/60th and 1/40th. So what's the whole discussion about then? Why shouldn't I be able to do midah minyan? And I can do it however I want then. Any minimal amount counts. Yeah, but the issue is Vereisha ba'ayin yafa v'seifa ba'ayin yafahi. The deal is we're trying to figure out what's the nicest way to do this. What's the most generous way to do this? So the most generous way to do this is if I'm going to separate the fresh figs for the dry ones, the most generous way to do it is to do it by number. Right? It's logical. That's the most generous way to do it. Because now you're taking, I have here, however many dried figs, which are tiny, and I'm going to use fresh figs by the number. So I'm going to consider the fresh one, which is nice and big and whole. I'm going to do that in parallel to the shriveled up dried ones. So that's the best way to do it if I'm using fresh. And if I'm using dried ones in the seifa, then it's best for me to do it based on volume, because you get more out of it. So that's the idea. It's only trying to teach me what the most generous way to do it is. It has nothing to do with kamos shehein, nothing to do with kamos shahayu, no proofs for us. To which he says, really? Ihachi, if so, I have a problem for you. Ema seifa, look at the end of the discussion, the third part there, which says, Amar Abelazer, Rabbi Yossi says, Abaya notel eser grugos shebemiktsawa al tishim shebekalkala. He says, my father, Rabbi Yossi, quite a bit in the Gemara, we see Rabbi Yossi giving us his father's practice. And he says, my father took 10 dried figs out of the press on behalf of the 90 fresh figs that were in the basket. But our point is not here the dried and the fresh. That was his point. Our point is he's doing 1 out of 10. That's not truma. Truma's not 1/10. Vima truma gedola eser mayavidite. What's your 10 out of, what are you talking about? Ella, rather, hacha betrumas meiser askinan. So our third approach is that we're dealing with trumas meiser, which in fact is 1/10. They
10% from the levy.
Right, it's 1/10 of your tenth. Va'abala, right, correct. You give your meiser to the levy, the meiser gives 1/10 to the kohen. Va'abalazer ben gomel or ben gittel or ben gamlo or ben gamliel, depending on your edition, look in the margin for all the options. Who the desanya, as the brisa says, abalazer ben gomel, I'll go with gomel because that's our edition. The Torah says this is a pasuk regarding trumas meiser, and the way we take it is v'nechshav will be calculated for you your truma. B'shtei trumas hakasem bedaber. It's talking about two trumos, trumas chem, achas truma gedola, v'achas trumas meiser. Both of those trumos, and it's teaching me the rule is k'shem shetruma gedola nitelas ba'omer u'machshava. Just like truma gedola is done by estimation or by exact calculation. Kach trumas meiser, and he tells us ba'omer u'machshava. The same thing is true regarding trumas meiser and mat truma gedola ba'ayin yafa. Ach trumas meiser ba'ayin yafa. Both truma gedola and trumas meiser are done. They are done generously ba'ayin yafa. You have the option of doing more. That's the idea that he presents. This is actually a problem going from truma to trumas meiser because the pasuk is a trumas meiser pasuk. Tosfos notes that. But that's the idea. And what we're doing is we're encouraging you to be generous when you do your trumas meiser. Umina, and from that, now, going based on that, I can try to bring a proof back to Kamo Shein and Kamo Shehayu. Watch this. Amar Belozer Rabbi Yossi, Abaya Notel Eser Grogo Shebemitzavah, Tishim Shebekakala. He used to take 10 dried figs on behalf of the 90 big fresh figs that were in the basket.
Why is it 10 out of 90? Yeah. It
No, it's 10 here and 90 there. It's 10 here and 90 over there. So that's 100 total.
So it means 10 on...
On a remainder of 90.
Left.
Yes, the 90 fresh figs that are in the basket. So, Iamrit Bishlam Alechamos, it should say, Shahayu Amrinan Shapir. If you're going to tell me we go based on the way things once were, then it makes sense, right? Again, it's 10 out of 100. You're doing it by the numbers. And he's using the dried ones on behalf of the fresh ones, but that's okay. We're okay with that, because you go based on what it once was. Ela Iamrit Kamos Shahain, but if you measure based on what it is now, Batzirlahu, then it's going to be too small. You're not going to have enough. Because right now your 10 are not enough in volume to parallel the other fresh ones. So Kiyasa Rivdimi, I'm Rabbi Lazar Shani Grogro. So Rivdimi says, "Sadi Rabbi Lazar, you're off track entirely. You can't use dried figs for this. Why? However, Yachal Shalkon Alachzir Lekamos Shehein. You could stew them in liquid, and then they will reinflate. Therefore, there is no proof based on this whole issue of the Grogro. So the upshot is, for our discussion, we have no evidence about whether you go with Kamos Shehein or Kamos Shehayu regarding the mincha and the measurement of the flour for the mincha. Tosas also notes, and this long Tosas down the side on Nundalatum and Base, he notes that you don't want to do Trumas Meiser. Even though we said you can do it by estimation, you don't want to do Trumas Meiser by estimation. Because if you do, you'll be Kerach Mikanu Mikan. Either you're going to give too much, in which case the Levi will be upset. He lost some of his meiser, or you give too little, and the Kohen will be upset because he says, "You gave me too little Trumas meiser." So there isn't a true side that benefits. There isn't a true Ayin Yafa. Ayin Yafa will always hurt one or the other.